Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm giving you all the things you need to know about the penis. Because, hey, there's always more to discover. Plus, of course, answering your emails. Topics include penis parts, from different erections to orally pleasing them. What you need to know. Is a parenting marriage ever a good idea? No, it's not. And here's why. Intense masturbation guilt. How to get past knowing your family heard you using your vibrator. This can be done, I promise. And are you really just a booty call or are you just paranoid? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. We love when you comment and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. So many places now. Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, all over the place. Another place you can listen is on SiriusXM Radio, Stars Channel 109. I am there weekdays, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Oh, it's a good time. It's been so much fun. I get to reach all of you and help you with sex and relationships. You can call us there any night, 888-947-8277. You can also get a free trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. Social media, we are everywhere, at sexwithemily across the board. That's easy, right? Okay, guys, enjoy the... There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Show. So a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we did a show called The Clit Notes. Mm-hmm. Get it? Clitoris.
Like notes. The clit notes?
Like clitoracy. We wanted you guys to be clitorate. Clitorate. And so tonight, in honor of Steak and Blow Dry Day, Blowjob Day, which we understand is sexist, so we actually call it Oral Appreciation Day. Mm-hmm. It still inspired us to talk about a few things about the penis. That's just to clear things up. Maybe you didn't know. And we can just start here with the shaft.
Shaft.
I'm just going to break it down.
It literally just says shaft in bold letters with an exclamation point.
I literally sat down to look at the show prep. I'm like, shaft! It says shaft! So sexy. The shaft. Do we all know what the shaft is? It's long. It's a primary part of your penis. You know what the shaft is, right?
Why are you looking at me?
I looked at Ken. The interior, yeah, okay. So the shaft is the penis that it's the long part of the penis, the shaft. And there's like nerve endings there, not as much as everywhere else. When a man's aroused, the blood flows to the penis, flows through the penis. And that's how we get an erection. I hate to say this. I don't want to talk about size, but it just in my notes here, you know, I've mentioned this. The average erect penis around 5-6 inches. Not that anyone's measuring and no one cares as much as you do about your penis, I promise.
We're yeah, cool we can't. It. We ballpark it anyways. We just look and we're like, oh, whatever.
Unless it's too big.
Yeah. Most of the time.
It's too big. Like in our experiences, not in our day-to-day life, but in people that you guys could call in. So then we got erections. What else do we have? We got erections, just erections. So there's other, did you know that there are 3 types of erections that men can have?
I did not know that.
Exactly. So there's the reflexogenic erection. Reflexogenic. It sounds like something you'd buy on the Home Shopping Network or something.
Sounds like
reflexogenic machine.
I don't think it sounds like reflexology.
Something like that. But like it sounds like that's a type of erection. And that is caused by direct physical stimulation. Nerves in the penis communicate with the spinal cord and then blood's released. It sounds like it's blood, not blood in a like a gushy way. Blood's released without the man's body needing to check in with his brain. And it's a reflex. It's just a reflex that does not require, okay? We're talking about this is direct. Might not need mental stimulation. Might not require porn. Then we've got a psychogenic erection. And this comes from your mind, your psyche. Mm-hmm. So this is where stimuli, it could be a lot of different things, right? Like porn, you know, it could be porn, talking dirty, fantasizing. And they're caused by different stimuli. So mm-hmm. It's like the reflexogenic. Is by touching, psychogenic by the brain. And it's possible that you... Okay, oh, here's the third one. The third of all the erections, now that you know, there's 3, nocturnal.
Ooh.
In the nighttime, they peak during REM sleep 2 to 3 times a night. So while we are all sleeping, your erections are up all night. I wonder if it's connected to people like, I can't sleep. My penis was up all night.
It just...
I will tell you that it's...
Like a
it's,
dick.
It's totally random.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the worst is when your kids wake you up to go because they need something and you wake up and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, you don't forget that. You wake up, mom.
This is a fun fact.
What?
The average man has about 11 erections in a 24-hour cycle.
Yeah.
So you guys are pretty busy.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Again, why'd you look at me?
Well, you're the only penis in the room.
Yeah, we have other fake penises in here, but now we have a real penis. So
usually they're just fake. I've been called worse.
And then there's the head, you guys, the head. Now we're getting interesting. I mean, that was interesting still. I'm not interesting. Not the penis. The penis is interesting. It has its own, you know, holiday today.
It's got its own, yeah.
No, the glands or the head. So this is the bulbous part of the penis, the protrusion at the very tip of the penis is called the glands. Also called the tip, the head. It's probably why they call it giving head. There you go. So that is the opening of the urethra. That's where the urine comes out, the semen comes out. And It is. Okay, so this is true. It is the glands, so the head is spade-like. And the reason why it is evolved like that, it was evolved for pleasure and for purpose, according to evolutionary anthropologists. And I've heard this many times, and I believe in sexual archaeologists, they would know. The reason why it is shaped spade-like, because it's the ideal shape for getting semen deposited to best fertilize an egg. Meaning, back caveman times, you were out and you came home and you want to make sure that your lady wasn't getting impregnated by the neighbor. And so you'd have sex with her and you'd plunge her with your penis, and to pull it was like a plunger. So you'd have sex with her and then you pull out the semen. Ow. Pull out the semen. Pull out any ejaculate left by a previous mate. So the previous mate that she's sleeping with isn't gonna get her pregnant.
So it's like That's a competition thing.
It's a competition thing. Survival of the species with your head. Yeah. They're pulling out the semen from the past. Plunging it.
Sounds crazy.
Wow.
That's cool.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh. I thought we talked about this. No, I guess not with you. But yeah, no, that's a known thing. Is this not a known thing?
I don't think very many people know that.
I have no idea.
I guess that's why I got my doctorate.
I'm a doctor. Figured it out.
I learned this in sex school. It's true. Maybe when I forget what I used to not know. And here you guys have to know. The head of the penis, I don't remember life before sex with Emily because I just assume I knew nothing. The head of the penis, like most of you, like I didn't know. Head of the penis, are you guys very sensitive? More sensitive than the shaft. And it's like licking, like touches, like soft touches. So that's the tip. And then the foreskin. That's the soft suede-like skin that covers the glands. That's like when people are uncircumcised.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, you know, America, Americans mostly are circumcised, I believe. Different religions, they are not. But I think more men are uncircumcised and circumcised in this world.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the deal, that if you come across one or you're not sure about it, this is the thing. Okay, so circumcision is a widely performed procedure. 37 to 39% of men around the world living without foreskin for religious and or cultural reasons. So anyway, how you use it, just make sure that it's hygienic. Like, this is the only thing. There's, like, really nothing different. It could be more sensitive. But just make sure that it's clean. Make sure clean. If you have one, you probably know this. But they can experience more sensitivity to stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to talk about the frenulum.
Your new best friend.
The frenulum is your best friend. Now, this is where the magic happens on the penis. It's kind of like the clitoris of the penis. So the frenulum is a thin piece of tissue on the underside of the penis where the head meets the shaft, or the foreskin connects to the head, to the penis, to the shaft. It's very small but very highly erogenous zone and the most sensitive part of the penis. There's more nerves in it than the head and the shaft.
Mm.
And so they've been found that this is what happens with those reflexogenic erections. This part is the penile brain, you know, even without the penile brain communication, the stimulation can lead to many a happy man, many ejaculation. So during blowjob, during touching it, like, pay attention, lick it, you know, use a vibrator against it, although that would probably go like a low vibe setting, and just like tickle it, know it's there, know it's precious, and maybe you masturbate and you didn't know it had a name. You're like, oh yeah, I do like that spot. I didn't know why. And that's why it's your frenulum.
It's interesting, like when you do touch that part on a partner, on a penis, you can see it almost gets like harder for a second. It's like, it's a joke. Oh, hey. Welcome.
Hey, look at you. Welcome to the party. Yeah. So glad you're here. Want a steak? So have a bite. And then scrotum and testicles. The balls. The balls are tricky. I get it. Like, if you don't have them, but just, you guys got to know what they do. Some call it the nectar of life. That's where the semen originates. That's where it all happens. They snug around the scrotum, and they are just effectively, the temperature is important for sperm production. You understand that. And I think it's important to say that when playing with them, stimulating them, just go light. Like, you're holding those like Benoit balls in your hand. They're very sensitive, as we all know. You can lick them. You can kind of suck them gently into your mouth. Talked about that a few weeks ago. So, yeah, the testicles. Is there anything else we want to talk about here?
So, okay, this is something.
You guys can call us too, 888-947-8277. I could go off on penis land forever.
Yeah, I mean, I just know, I mean, like, that I've noticed is, like, this, when the balls, when they go from being kind of like loose and hangy to like up and taut.
Yes. That happens when
I heard that that's to get them out of the way during sex.
Yes. When you're erect, they pull up.
Yeah.
They suck up. Yes.
I think that's cool.
That is cool, right? Did you know that?
I mean, like, I heard that like recently. Noticed. Yeah. Like, no, I mean, this is the thing. We were talking about this earlier in the show about how we feel like not all men, but some men, like they don't really look at the vulva when going down. I'm like, I mean, I guess it's hard not to look at it like a penis because it's so much more stark and in your face.
Yeah. It's all up in your face. It's all up in your face.
But it's like, I notice all of the things.
Yeah.
I know.
The balls too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We pay attention. We do. Because you're looking at it. So everyone's what?
I have to pay attention. I'd never even, I have no idea what.
Oh, you want to pay attention to your balls?
To my own. During that.
Yeah, totally.
Not to somebody else's.
No. So yeah, that's it. Safe set. What else we got to hear about the balls? Did we say we got the balls? It's important.
Just
take care of them. And please, find out your partner. Not everyone likes them touched.
Thank you.
Perineum is also magical. I think that we can talk about the prostate too. The prostate.
It's all similar.
But you guys, let me tell you something. The prostate for men, gay, straight, whatever you're into, for men, if you have it, men have a prostate. And there's a lot of stimulation that can happen there, and it can feel amazing for many men. And they have not tested it. So maybe you want to try a finger. We've got a lot of great toys we talk about on the show. We love different butt plugs, fingers. Just try it if you haven't tried it. We've got a ton of stuff on our site, too, about that. And then the perineum.
Mm.
That's a sensitive spot between the scrotum and the anus, also called the taint.
The gooch.
I'm like the gooch, yeah.
It's from I learned that from Jackass.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gooch. It's a good one. I've heard that too. I didn't know that's where it originated. But whatever you call it, know that it has a lot of nerve endings, and that's kind of the pathway to the prostate. So that's pretty cool. You can have indirect stimulation to the prostate by just pressing down on it or like pulling, like if you want on your own, if you just want to take a finger pad and like kind of two fingers or one, just kind of press up on it, like kind of your flat of it, just feel how that feels. And the reason why that can't feel good is because it's indirectly stimulating the prostate. And also it's a good, like if you are with a penis partner, that's a great little thing if you're giving oral or hand job to kind of apply pressure there. That can kind of provide a lot of excitement for a lot of people. You can also use a vibrator there, like a light vibe, ticker on the balls. That feels good. Perineum. Yeah. I think that's like a fun, like if you haven't done that to your partner and like, oh, they don't want butt stuff, like try the perineum from women too.
Yeah, it's a way to like sneak it.
Yeah, just see how it feels.
Why not?
If that feels good, guess what it's going to feel like if you do try your prostate stimulating that bad boy.
You just let them know that you're if they're not used to that, let them know you're not going for the anus, but you're doing that on purpose because it does feel good. But send them a text first, yeah. Gotcha. With the laser pointer.
All right.
The
laser pointer is a great idea. So some other things for the penis that we find helpful. Penis rings, cock rings, aka cock rings. So the pivot is one that we love from WeVibe. And I love this because, so just so you know that if you want to last longer in bed, that's originally why we started hearing about cock rings years ago. They were more like steel, right?
Yeah.
The ones they help make last longer.
Really constrictive.
But they were constrictive, like blood flow. But these ones they have today, like the pivot or the Verge or the Atom Plus by Hot Octopus, these are really cool. Like they vibrate. They have vibrators in them. You put it around your penis and it's great. Like for solo play, for a partner, like if you're with a woman, she gets on top, bottom, like it still stimulates her clitoris and it feels really, really good. We love those. If you haven't tried one, those are great couples toys to start with. An external massager. So that was the pit. Mm-hmm. The external massager is, I like the Jopen Pave Grace. It's like this beautiful little blue toy. It looks like it's like fits in the palm of your hand, mm-hmm. like a little pebble, not a pebble, like a little rock, a skipping stone.
Yeah, that's like a skipping stone.
Exactly. The Grace is a cool one, and then we like the Wish because the Wish is a squishy toy. It looks like a little squishy ball. I just love it. It's like it looks like one of those stress balls, but it's a vibrator. It's amazing. You can control it with the app, which is awesome. But it has less. It's originally it's created all these toys. You can use them in any way you want. Like I use the pivot, the cock ring on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the Wish is that its vibrations are not as intense. Like it extends throughout the whole Wish, like the whole thing. So for some in the vibrations, you always want to keep it on a lower setting. And this one already has a kind of vibration that would feel great for men, maybe not ejaculate as quickly, if that's a thing.
Do you think that more or not as many men can handle vibration just because they're not used to it or because it's like just their anatomy?
That's a really good question. I think it's the same reason why we like it. I think it's like, whoa, I've never felt, it feels amazing. So I think that anytime we stimulate nerve endings, whether they're on a woman or a man, you stimulate, think about it, it's like why you like touch or tickle or massage. I mean, it's, you haven't felt, so yeah, it could be like, I've never felt it before. That could be the first time, but no, I think it just feels amazing to be stimulated by something other than your hand or another person's hand or a body part. And I think that a lot of men don't ever try that.
It depends on what you're vibrating against. That's sometimes you need it stronger because it's not as sensitive depending on where you're putting it.
Yeah, like if you put it on the tip or the frenulum or on the perineum,
they'll like go crazy.
On the ball. Yeah. Some could.
Balls definitely light.
Balls, you want to go really light.
Perineum, you can go hard.
So, yeah. And then lubes.
Lubes.
We love Woo More Play. It's a really fun, it's like coconut love oil is what it is. And so it could be used for massage. It's great for hand jobs. No more dry hand jobs, please.
I was surprised how many people actually learned that I knew that had penises that were giving themselves dry hand jobs. And I was like, I mean, and I just was giving guys dry hand jobs. And I was like, I hate hand jobs. And now it's like changed the whole...
Yeah.
Like every person I've introduced lube to, they're just like, how was I ever...
What planet was I on? It's like, I'm going through the desert. And they're like, here's some lube. You're like, whoa. Yeah, you didn't know you were in the desert until you found lube. It's true. It's amazing. I don't understand how people don't use it all the time, every day, all day. Just make sure you always got enough lubrication there. That's cool. We love it. For hand jobs, for any job. Literally any job. I don't know. Like, you need lube in your car.
You right? do.
You need lube.
If something gets stuck in your something.
Mouth. True. Okay, so then we've got the male masturbation sleeve. So these are the thing. These are fun. These are great gifts. They're great gifts. Stocking stuffers. It's not even Christmas.
Well, it's stuffing something.
But if you've been thinking about stuff this in your stocking stuffer... Because we talk a lot about toys for women, but there are so many toys for penises as well. Like Fleshlight makes the quick shot, which is kind of a fun little like hand job helper, we call it. Like hamburger helper, but this is for your penis hand job. Makes it quick. The Hot Octopus Pulse 3 Solo. That's an, oh my God. I gave it to a boyfriend. He's like, didn't leave his house.
It's the greatest thing.
For like 2 days. Ken likes it too.
It's the best thing ever.
What do you like about it? It's a sleeve.
So I wouldn't call it a sleeve. It's a, so
okay.
I personally I don't like sleeves. They seem like a really good idea until you're doing it, for me at least. And that's just me. But the Hot Octopus, it goes around like a hot dog bun almost on the bottom. And it has an oscillating pad that pushes it. It oscillates against your frenulum. You don't have to move it. You can use it to stroke, but you don't have to.
Oh, it's hands-free.
It's hands-free. It's totally hands-free. If you can kind of rest it on something or you can hold it, but you don't have to. There's no motion necessary at all.
Wow.
You turn it on and you let it go, and it's
feels amazing. It's okay, because it's not really a vibrate. It's an oscillate.
It's like tapping on your frenulum really fast, and you can. It's got multiple speeds. It's got multiple patterns. But it's intense.
Hot Octopus. Okay. Yeah, Pulse 3 Solo. We'll put this in the show. Everything we're talking about are in the show notes if you go to sexwithme.com.
It's so funny because even though there are so many toys designed for like vulvas and vaginas and everything, I'm still jealous of this Pulse 3.
I know. Wait, when he started talking about it oscillating the first, like, I tried a frenulum. What? I want a frenulum. I want to tap it. Oh, you were jealous of it for your vulva. I wanted a penis for a minute.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everyone wants to know what it feels like for the other side.
Okay, and here's some more techniques to remember for the touching, the pleasing part of the penis. Now, remember this. There's a few basic pointers to keep in mind. Rhythm. You want to keep a rhythm going. Good hand technique is kind of like playing an instrument, you know, like, you know, when you're in a good rhythm. So, you know, you want to use your hands to make sure that you're like going up and down and have a nice rhythm. Let's talk about pressure for a minute. if you just do like a feather soft touch, or you actually blow on the penis, I don't know. People used to, I had heard a story about a friend who, was that you, Jamie, who blew on the penis? They thought a blowjob meant blowing.
Oh, that was not me. Okay. But that
I've heard that. It's not blowing. It's not light feather touching. You want a firm grip, but not too firm. So think about this. Like, think about mimicking like your real snugness. Like when a penis is inside of you, for example. Like it's that firm enough grip that you can move your hand safely up and down, but you're not causing the penis to turn purple. You're going to need to know how tight they might like it too. No purple penises. Remember the angle. Like, do you only stroke your guy like up towards the belly button and then you never go like to the other points? Like, do you ever go down south? Do you ever go like to the west or to the east? Do you know what I'm saying? So the angle changes sensation. So some guys might just want you to keep going up, but some guys might want you to move it around and play with it, kind of like a joystick.
I get bored just going up and down. So yeah. I just do that naturally because I'm bored.
Yeah, exactly. And they're bored too. If you're bored, they're bored. That's how I feel about doing the show. When I get bored, I move on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never get bored, but you know what I mean? I think I know.
No, I can tell.
It's time to
I can tell.
The topic.
I can tell.
So change your hand positions, and it's okay to ask and be like, does that feel good? How do you like this? So play with the angle and also wetness, you guys. Remember this. It can feel good to like tease, you know, if you've got like a soft penis around, but like if you want to like make it, you know, you just start licking it and playing with your hand. But once it gets hard, you want to make sure that you get some lube on there. I don't think anyone wants a dry hand job. Use a lot of lube, silicone lube. We love Pure, PJUR lube, silicone lube. It's the best. And you just need a few drops. And also, we also like Uber lube, whatever you like. It's great for the nightstand. Because here's the deal. Even if you like spit in your hands or use saliva, it's just easier and it feels better. And I'm all ready for guys to start using lube when they masturbate.
Yeah. And for the people out there, if you just want to put your mouth on it, silicone lube doesn't taste bad at all.
Exactly. It does not have a taste.
It does not.
So you can put your mouth on it, use lube, and just know that the magic happens, like we said, in the tip of the penis. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure you focus on the tip and the frenulum. And just listen. You can tell if your guy's really into it or not. You got to pay attention to it. So pay attention to his like moaning and his breathing. And like, you know, rather than what happens during sex sometimes, we forget to pay attention to what they're doing because we're so focused on our hand grip or our mouth grip. After a while, this is going to become more obvious to you. But if you're a beginner, you know, play with some lube and your hand motions and then pay attention to what your partner is doing. Some other ways to touch the penis, basic grips. You can do the okay sign. Like, that's the most natural grip. You just do the okay sign around the penis. Like, it's kind of like touching your index or middle finger to the thumb. And then you slip it around and you can travel and go up and down to his liking. You can also do like a sausage wrap where you're enclosing. This is from Sadie Allison's book, baby. I'm using her book is called Tickle is Pickle, and I love it. So I'm just giving you some straightforward things. Sausage wrap, you enclose your shaft and your five fingers with your thumb at the top, and you just stroke up and down. And then, you guys, two-fister. Try any basic moves and use two hands.
That's a game changer.
That is a game changer. Listen, I know guys give themselves hand jobs all day long, but they don't use two hands, which I'm not sure why. But remember, when you use your hand, it's a total game changer. You can also do the twister. So with every stroke, you give like you slip your hand and you twist it up and then you twist it back down again. Twist it up, kind of like the barbershop pull.
Oh, twist yeah. Around. No, that's
a way to think about
that's
it.
That's a great way to think about it.
Twisting back, twisting up, twisting up. And then you can start with a pumper. You start at the base of this penis and then you stroke up past the tip. So you go, you start again at the base and then you keep repeating and you go over the tip and then back down again. Over the tip and back down again.
That seems to be very popular.
That is a popular one because you're touching the tip.
Touching.
You can even put your mouth on the tip.
Mm-hmm.
While you're using your hand up and down. Okay, here's some other two-handers. We already talked about the double twister. There's this cigar roller. Open hands. Place them on opposite sides like you're starting a fire, you know? Slide them up and down, keeping your palms straight open and go up and down, rolling them together, up and then back down, up and then down. You could also do the okay sign around the head of the penis and a downward stroke, following immediately the same motion with your other hand. So you just keep repeating it, the okay sign, up and down, but with both hands. And then you can also do an all-over massage. This is when you lube your hands up completely. And then you massage everything, which I love this idea. And I do this. And sometimes I forget, so this is a good reminder. But we like to be massaged all over. If you lube up your hands and you massage everything from his belly button down to his inner thighs, glide over his skin, and also pay attention to not just his penis, but his balls, his taint. That can feel really great. It's kind of a little bit of teasing, and then you go back to the penis. And you can also, you guys, if you want to play with the taint more, which is also known as the perineum, in between the balls and the opening to the anus, you press your fingertips or your knuckles or fists into the taint. And then with your other hand, you're stroking the penis. And for a lot of men, that can just send them over the edge. Those are some penis tips. I hope they helped you out, jumpstart your penis career, or helped you kind of spice things up for yourself. Let me know if you have any of your favorite tips. You can also email us, feedback@sexwithelmy.com. All right, guys, we're going to get into your emails. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back. It's all about you. All right, guys, into your emails. God, I love answering your questions. It's like my favorite part of the day. Always. Just go to the website if you want to send one, sexwithelmy.com. Click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, or just email feedback@sexwithelmy.com. Always, always, always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. All right, Jamie, you want to read the emails?
All right. So this first one comes to us from Ertle, who's 30 in Turkey. He writes, "Hello, Emily. My wife and I are healthy and our marriage is healthy. We've been married 1.5 years and were together 2 years prior to that. My problem is my wife has an obsession about who starts first. We're having sex at least 2 to 3 times every week. She tells me whenever you desire, we have sex, but this is not totally correct. Most often we decide together to have sex, sometimes I decide, and less often it's her decision that we start. For instance, the other day I took a shower, and I had only underwear on, and I approached her for sex, but she said no. After an hour, I put all my clothes on, and she said, okay, let's do it. I said, all right, let me smoke first, took 20 minutes, and then I was ready, and then she said, we only start whenever you want. This freaks me out. What is your comment about this situation?"
All right, Ertl, it sounds like there's some more going on here. You guys have been together for almost 4 years, and it sounds like she might be setting you up. She says she'll start it, and then you leave the room, and then she puts it back on you. Here's what happens with initiating sex in a relationship. I hear this often, that there's always one partner. It seems like in every relationship, there's one partner who initiates most of the time, if not all the time. And then another partner who wants to or says they will, and they don't. But there is an easy fix to this. And that is just talking to her and having a talk, a healthy talk about your sex life outside the bedroom. When you're just saying, you know what? And you're not angry. You're not mad. You're not blaming. You're not saying, you never. I went to get a cigarette. I went to smoke. And then you didn't want to do it. Da, da, da. No. Clean slate, Ertl. Let me tell you what it looks like to me. Because Ertl, she might want to initiate, like, to please you, but she doesn't know how. And let me tell you why this happens to women a lot. It's because a lot of us are raised that, and we're even conditioned that men start sex. We might feel guilt around it. We might be afraid of rejection. We might have been told, you know, even subconsciously that women shouldn't be initiating sex, that we should wait for guys to claim us. Maybe she has some guilt around initiating, and maybe she's never done it. So the best thing is just letting her know, like, what feels good to you. Let her know, say, you know what? I know we've talked about initiating, but let me tell you what it looks like to me. I would love it if you initiated by me walking in the door and kissing my neck, or me walking in the door and you've already have some laundry on, or I'm sitting re-watching TV and you kiss me from behind. Whatever it is, you have to let her know, because, again, you guys are together. I'm sure she wants to please you, but she just doesn't know how. So you really have to practice here to have a healthy conversation without blaming or shaming or bringing up any of the past anger. Because, you know, when we do that, when we start a conversation and we put our partner on the defensive, we don't get anywhere. We keep having the same kind of fights over and over again. And then ask her what it would look like for her. Like, how would you like me to initiate? You might even want to take this to the next level and ask about some fantasies or some different things you can try in the bedroom. I mean, she might not have a lot of experience talking about this stuff, but the more you really get into finding what pleases both of you, the better your sex life is going to be in the long term. Thanks, Ertl, for the question.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Kevin, who's 39 in Pennsylvania. He writes, "Hi, Emily. My wife recently told me she's no longer in love with me and wants to try continuing to live together in a parenting marriage because we have 4 kids together. The youngest is only 3. She also said she doesn't want to disrupt the finance and schedule support we have together, but also hopes in time we will still find someone down the road who makes us each happy. Can a parenting marriage work? I'm also clueless about dating while married because I think many would be turned off by the very notion. Am I correctly skeptical that my wife is trying to have it both ways, or can something like this really work? Thanks for your amazing show."
Hey, Kevin. Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. I have to say that I am sorry that you're going through this right now, because it must be really hard and hurt to have your wife say to you, "I'm no longer in love with you." And then to follow it up with, "But we can still stay together and see other people." So this does not work. I'm telling you, I don't often tell people to end relationships and to break up, because I really think, you guys, I do think it's important to try to do your best and stay together for the kids if that can work. But right now, or, you know, to say that, okay, before we break up, let's make sure we go to therapy and we've tried everything. Because sometimes couples just don't. They get to a point, they don't ever try, and it's over. But the fact that she already came to you and said she's not in love with you, unless that was triggered by something that happened, which, you know, I don't know in this email, I'm just going to go off your facts here that she's already done. She says she's not in love with you, and she still wants to have her cake and eat it too. I'm telling you, this doesn't work. Kids are smart, no matter how old they are, even young babies, young kids, 2-year-old. They know what's going on. They sense unrest in the home. They sense when mommy and daddy aren't in love and they're not sleeping in the same bedroom and they're not affectionate and they don't really love each other and just a working relationship. So I think the best thing you can do is to separate and show them what it looks like to be loved by both parents who live separately, and then have you both develop healthy relationships on your own. I don't think that other people are going to be down with it. I mean, and I don't think that that's something that you actually want to do. I feel like she's forcing you into this and maybe even being a little manipulative by just saying, "I don't love you, but let's stay together." No, I don't want to deal with those pesky finances and those 4 kids. No, you have to deal with the finances. You have to be strong. I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but I promise if you guys are not going to be intimate and there's no more love in the relationship, the best thing you can do is get divorced. Never talk bad about each other to the kids and do your best to make, you know, happy, healthy, separate homes for the children. I promise you it's better for your kids and for you both in the long run.
All right. This next one comes to us from Cassie, who's 27 in Toronto. She writes, "Dear beautiful Emily." Oh, how nice. Aww. "I've been in a 9-year relationship and my partner is 6 years older. We've lived together for the past 7 years. We're very happy, loving, good communication, and have regular sex. I'm truly suffering, though, because I just don't get really turned on by him. Yes, that means I don't orgasm. I do on my own and honestly feel I could easily with someone else. He's so into it and fulfilled, but I just can't seem to get that same buzz of excitement. I've tried ways of mixing it up and I'm very playful and still enjoy the act, but it's not really satisfying or deep. This is something I've been working on since the first year. I'm afraid maybe I've just never been sexually compatible with him. Although he's happy, I've never cheated, but I've felt sexual energy from dancing with guys that is way hotter than any intimate moments with my long-term handsome partner. Help. It makes me so sad. Thank you for your time."
All right, Cassie. Okay, so here's the deal with this. This is what I always say to people. When they are in a long-term relationship and they no longer feel the spark, I'm like, well, how was it in the beginning? That's always my first question. And they're like, oh, it was great in the beginning. It was great. And then I can work with them. But the fact that you are telling me that you never had it in the beginning, you've been working on it since the first year, I'm not sure it's going to magically change after 8 years. Now, you might just be over it completely, and maybe you're in your head about it, and, you know, or maybe you're just ready. Like, it sounds like you might be. But I mean, the only thing I can say is you've been with him for 9 years since you were 18. So essentially, I'm going to guess that he's maybe your first real love. I mean, 18 to 27. So maybe you just have, you know, it's time for you to get out and it is time for you to meet some other people. I mean, I like to say that you guys can work on it, but it sounds like you've been trying since the first year. And if you've been trying with him and you've actually said to him, you know, babe, I don't feel our spark as much. Like, let's try to work together and see what we can do to turn each other on. Like, if you've actually tried with him and it still hasn't happened, I think that then maybe it is time to move on. Or maybe you're just desiring sexual energy from other people. But either way, which happens, you guys, this is why I am not a huge fan of getting married before you're 30. I think our 20s are really made for time that we should be figuring out what we like sexually, in a partner, in a relationship. It gives us more time to explore who we're growing into, what's important to us as adults. And it sounds like you just haven't had that time, Cassie. And I want you to have that time. 9 years together is a long time. And 7 years living together. So I think unless you're ready to bring him into trying one more time and say, listen, I'm not feeling the spark. What can we do? If you've already done that, doesn't work, then I think it might be time to move on. I really do. That's my advice. It's hard to say, but yeah, it's really hard to conjure up chemistry when it was never there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart for staying for 9 years. It's a long time to try to make things work. It is. And you must be very frustrated right now. So...
And if you can feel sexual energy just from dancing with someone else,
then
you know that you're capable of
it. You know you're capable of it. And this is what happens a lot in long-term relationships when people are like, oh, I don't have a sex drive, and then they meet someone else and they have it. So pay attention to your body too.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Taylor, who's 24 in South Dakota. Hi, Emily. I love your podcast and I'm hoping you can help me. I was recently left by my fiance. We were together for 5 years and he left me for another girl. I'm now dating again, and I'm having a hard time with the guy that I'm seeing. We've been seeing each other for about 4 months, and I'm already to be official with him, but he doesn't like labels. I feel like that this is just an excuse for him to sleep with other women. His roommate told me that I basically am just a prolonged booty call, and when I brought it up, the guy I'm seeing said that that isn't the way he sees me at all. I just don't know what to do. Is my past making me paranoid?
Hey, Taylor. Okay, listen. Here's what I think. You were with someone for 5 years. Again, much like our last email, much like Cassie, you were with him from such a young age. I'm going to assume he's your first love and you were together for 5 years and then you guys were engaged to be married and then he left you for another woman and that is a lot of heartache. That is really hard to deal with and you have to rebuild trust again. You have to figure out who you are without a man in your life. So I would say, take some time on your own. No, I don't know if the roommate's lying to you. The guy's not going to say, oh, my roommate's right. I actually do think that he's a booty call. But I got to give this guy credit. He's telling you, listen, when someone tells you something like this, you got to believe them. He's saying to you, I'm not looking for anything. He doesn't like labels. So it sounds like where you're at in your life right now, when you do get into a relationship, and I don't think it's now, Taylor, I think as much as we think it helps to get under to get over, as they say, have sex with someone else to get over our ex, that's a temporary fix. That's a Band-Aid fix. You could keep swinging from one relationship to the next in your 20s, 30s, but I really think that this is really important for you to figure out who you are without a man. Maybe you get into therapy because it sounds like your past might be making you have less trust in men. It might be making you more paranoid that every little move is gonna, you know, you're worried that they're out with someone else. And so until you go to deal with these core like issues that you have around trust and even just around what you want from a partner, I don't think that you should be dating right now. I think that that's just an important step to take because then you're going to find yourself in a few years, you're in relationships and you're still not going to know who you are. So I want you, please, to take this work, you know, make sure that you're 100% confident on your own. Don't fall into those patterns of like, I need a man to complete me or I need a man to feel whole, because here's what happens when you're with someone from 19 to 24 or like for, you know, all those really formative years, 18 to 25. I mean, it's like, of course you're craving that energy again from a man because that's what has filled you up all these years. It's almost like an addiction in a way. Like that energy made you feel whole, but it's really not about that. You have to, I'm telling you, do this hard work right now and just say no. Say no to dating, hang out with your friends, build a full life, build a community around you. If you meet someone, great, but I wouldn't make this your goal to try to date someone and lock them down right now. I really want you to focus on yourself, Taylor. This is the time to do it.
Okay, this last one comes to us from Ashley, 25 in the U.S. She writes, Dear Emily, when I was younger, middle school and high school, I would masturbate once or more a day with a very loud vibrator. I recently found out that my brother and parents heard me almost every time. My brother acts super uncomfortable around me, my dad doesn't know how to even look at me, and my mom tries her hardest to make me feel guilty. I never did it with the intent of others knowing, but I feel like I ruined their lives. I almost feel like I sexually assaulted my family. It's really hard for me to keep living with this guilt. I feel like if I was never born, my brother and parents would have been much happier. I'm sure this has happened to a lot of people, but I really did use that vibrator quite often and have probably scarred them for life. I'm going crazy over this and it's consuming my life. Help.
Ashley, we all read this here And I just want to give you a hug, sweetie. It sounds like you're having a lot of distress over this. And listen, you're a young kid. You use a vibrator. It was loud. I understand that's a little bit embarrassing. But I also think that you're taking this to a really extreme level that isn't true. The facts are, yes, you used a vibrator when you were younger and they heard you. That's not comfortable. I get it. But you did not sexually assault your family. And I think that if they really are teasing you about it all the time, then they're blowing it out of proportion as well. And I feel like maybe you're creating this to be a bigger thing because you feel some guilt around it. But I really don't want this to consume your life. You really did nothing wrong. I mean, your mom could have come in your room when you were seventh grade and said like, hey, darling, like this would be the ideal parent. Here's a quiet vibrator, or we hear you, you know, but since nobody feels comfortable talking to their kids around sex, which just, oh, I wish they did, this is what happens. So for now, I think maybe you might need some therapy around this, because I'm going to guess that perhaps, you know, you might feel this might have trickled over into some of the sex you're having with partners, maybe. Maybe you don't want to make noise, or you're afraid that, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking about yourself, but I'm just picking up on your language here of sexual assault and that your brother and your dad are uncomfortable around you. I'm wondering if you just are reading into their eye movements, like if they're looking away, that maybe they're upset. I don't know because I'm not in your family, but I don't want this to consume your life. I think you could find a quieter vibrator though. The Womanizer Premium. It's a very quiet vibe. But again, the challenge here is more about you reconciling this with your family. And if you're still not sure, you could talk to them one-on-one. I know that sounds mortifying and embarrassing, but I really feel like it's your family. And if you want to have a healthy relationship, there could be some talking to do to clear it up, because I really don't think it's as crazy as you think and as much of an impact on other lives and yours as you're allowing it to be. So you could also get some therapy, like I said, and talk to the professional about how to handle the situation. But I really think that you're going to be fine. You already are, Ashley. Thanks for the email. Thanks, everyone, for the emails. Such great emails today. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I love you all. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.